Welcome to Lost Horror Podcast. This is your weekly podcast, usually regarding film and film things, cinema, as they say in some places. And that's primarily what we talk about on a week-to-week basis with my usual co-host, Eric Sayor.
This episode is dedicated to the monster universe, Universal Monster Universe that... died 3 times way too early.
R.I.P. Yeah, it's good that you specifically said Universal Monsterverse, because yes, there are two Monsterverses. One of them I have a deep affection for, the other one not as much, but we'll get into that more. So yeah, as Eric has sort of hinted at, we're talking about cinematic universes, and if there's a specific theme to this episode, it's that everybody who has just tried to copy Marvel while not having any understanding of how Marvel created the MCU, and just examining how silly all their attempts have been, how misguided, you know, et cetera, you know, all just, you know, and we're not going to cover everything because there's too much to cover. You know, much better and more professional podcasts can probably like go from the very beginning to the very, well, to now, and then what's going on forward. But we're just going to talk about it in a very lackadaisical way, and just the stuff that really grinds our gears and things like that. So I'll let you start off, I guess, if there's...
Yeah, like... The one thing that works, the one that works is the MCU, and I think there are other that are working now, I think.
Yes.
And it's only because all those early Marvel films feel so like they're about to be the last one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they kind of work, but like they're not great. I think they haven't aged as well as I think we would like, but at the time they were good to great films.
Mm-hmm.
And I think cinematic universes come from good to great films that are a bit linked and that come together, and then you get something great like the MCU.
Right. And I think it's important to point out that I think the MCU in the beginning, a lot of its momentum comes from Iron Man.
Yeah.
The majority of its momentum comes from Iron Man. Really, there are... Because the rest of those movies, some of them I still like. Some of them I've grown to like far more than I did when I initially watched them. I think Captain America and Iron Man are the two best of the entirety of Phase 1 for me. Other than if you're including Avengers in that, then that's also very high up there. But the rest of them, my opinions of them have gone down for the most part, or they've just sort of stayed steady. You know, sometimes you're Iron Man 2 and I don't even want to ever see you ever again for the rest of my life, but I know that I have to because I agreed to it.
We don't like Iron Man 2. Most people don't really like Iron Man 2, but it feels like all these universes are starting with their Iron Man 2.
Which
is probably the mistake. You should start with Iron Man, a movie that works by itself, and that could be the end of your story.
Right.
Open maybe a bit to a sequel, but not like...
Yeah.
Like, Iron Man 2 exists only to start to link those movies together and to bring the Avengers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like if... It's almost like all the rest of them, they're making Iron Man and Iron Man 2... crammed into one film. So what happens is, like, most of the time, like, if we use The Mummy for example, most people like the beginning of that movie from everything that I've heard just in the time since it came out, but they think that it's the last hour and a half that messes it up. So if you're cramming the rest of Iron Man into half an hour and then Iron Man 2 into another hour, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no interest in seeing The Mummy. I love Tom Cruise, but even he can't convince me to watch this film.
No. I mean, him, the first time anybody ever heard Tom Cruise screaming was in was in a badly mixed The Mummy trailer, and that still didn't get people into the theater. but I guess we should, one of the first things we should address is the, as Stan Lee would call them, the distinguished competition, which is DC. And I will say this, regardless of, you know, personal feelings about Man of Steel one way or the other, I have very mixed feelings about that film. Real quick, your sort of general thoughts on Man of Steel, I guess, because we never actually talked about this.
I think it's all right. Like, I liked it watching it in theaters. I'll maybe rewatch it one day. I don't know. I liked it enough the first time.
Yeah.
I hate when Superman flies. I think it looks like shit.
That's a hot take. That's a very hot take. But you know what? I'm going to support you on that. I will say this. That movie, they are not trying to set up a universe at all in that movie. And that's something I'll give it credit for.
Yeah.
Is there's nothing really other than the Wayne stuff and the Luthor stuff. But it's not.
It's so minimal that it's what we talked about. A good movie starting the whole universe. The problem is was it wasn't great, and it gave a tone that then the universe had to follow.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why those movies are bad.
Yes. I think
as a universe, those movies work.
Mm-hmm.
I think from Man of Steel up to Justice League, if you ignore Suicide Squad, because that's like feels so out of that bubble, those movies feel like they're happening in the same universe, and they feel like they have those threads that I feel like if they were just better would make for, we would be talking differently about DC.
Yeah, even if each subsequent film were 10% better.
Yeah.
It's a whole different ball game at that point. If there's, you know, I've talked about it so much on the Phantom Zone that it kills me. but if there's less of Jesse Eisenberg in a very suggestive way putting a Jolly Rancher into an old senator's mouth, if there's less, of a very established Oscar-winning actress drinking a man's pee, presumably. if there's far less of that and Doomsday at the end, then it's a far better film, and the universe is just on a better trajectory from that point forward.
So you're just saying dumb Zack Snyder?
Yeah, kind of.
Give those movies to someone. Give those movies to like Colin Trevorrow that just make them boring and just fine. And I think that's a better alternative.
You know what? He won't. I mean, again, this is another Phantom Zone, but there won't be a character who says to screen, "It's okay to let people die if it means that you're saving yourself." There won't be someone who says, "It's okay to let some horses die to save your horses." So that won't happen in a Colin Trevorrow movie. It's just that a horse will die very gruesomely and in a very unearned way, like in Jurassic World. That's a universe that it doesn't suffer from any of the problems that the other universes we're going to be talking about suffer from. They all have the same problem, oddly enough, usually. Which is, as you said, the first movie is usually crap. They don't make a good movie. And it's not even that they don't make a successful movie. It's that they skip over trying to make a movie where the characters are interesting and where the leads feel cohesive with what the story is, you know? And it's just so very rare that most of these universes just feel tangible in the way that I think the first Iron Man feels tangible.
Yeah, if Aquaman is universally liked, not loved, just liked, Then we're talking differently about the whole thing. It's just Zack Snyder was the problem. Like, I don't know if what they have announced for next year or if they have anything announced. I think the Shazam film is next year.
Yes, that's the only other one other than Aquaman that I can think of.
Yeah.
And that one is definitely, they're definitely shifting things in terms of the tone, as far as I can tell. And I.
Yeah. And if that Siren's film that was just announced, that had just had a director attached to it, is good.
Yeah.
Like, then you're talking like the right language.
Definitely. So yeah, like that's, yeah, this whole the universe looks like it's going in a right,
Yeah.
in the right
Yeah.
direction, I think. They're definitely course correcting. But I'm fascinated to see what happens, you know, like Wonder Woman is a movie that, you know, something that I've been thinking about is if that movie had been released in 2014, things would be very different right now.
Yeah.
Because it would be right in between Man of Steel and Batman. You would have an idea of who Wonder Woman is going into BVS. Maybe she doesn't even need to be there for the duration that she is. You know, that movie doesn't need to have the last 30 minutes that is a Wonder Woman preview.
Yeah.
So, yeah, things like that are very interesting to me.
If they had just had Switched and then Wonder Woman first, and then
Yeah.
Man of Steel 2 years later, and then the movie they do together fits thematically with both, then you have something way more interesting than just like following Man of Steel and going more darker and edgy and in that like shitty direction.
Okay, I think I want to
Yeah,
move away
that's
from
enough
DC
shitting on
because I talk
DC.
about DC so much. But yeah, we can talk more about it though at some
Let's
point.
talk about the thing I love. Let's talk about Star Wars because
Yes.
Star Wars have had like the most variation in quality, I think, of almost any long-running series. Like
Yes.
some of the best and some of the worst movies ever made. And
Yeah.
now, we're like, I like parts of the prequel, I'll say that, but they're not good movies.
No, they're again,
Yes,
other better podcasts have discussed in length why they are bad,
exactly.
so go listen to
But
those.
and now they're taking a different approach of making like those mainline films that I think are some of the best in the series, if not the best. And those alternate years film that are extending the universe, but not really, because they feel so small in how they want to extend the universe. They're like the most obvious thing possible, and I think they're the idea of like you like Rogue One a lot. I think it's all right. I think it's good.
I think it has flaws, though. I want to say that. I've said this before. I think that movie has major flaws.
Yeah,
But I like
but
what they're going for, so.
yeah, of course. But the idea of those film of this film and of Solo is so small and so boring in and of itself. I think I wish they do something interesting. If it make it feel like a universe, not make it feel like that same small story is all there is.
And yeah, I think so. I like the idea of telling stories that aren't just galactic destruction, but at the same time, I think my problem with Rogue One and Solo at this point is they're both very similar movies, as far as I can tell. It's about a character who's kind of recognizable gathering together a team to go on a mission around events that we already know happened. That's what both of these movies are about.
Yeah.
There's a team and they come together as a team. And that's cool. I like a team. Give me all the teams. I like teams. You know, I've said many times, I want another movie with Cassian where it's him and a bunch of like spies like trying to outrun assassins. That'd be cool. Like, what are Imperial assassins? Like, what weird shit have they come up with to hunt down people that they want to kill secretly and covertly? Like, what's that like? What are those characters like? So that's something that I've wanted to see for a while. But it's just like, can you come up with something maybe just another notch different from what we've seen already? Even if we go to what's the game? Is it the game that everybody hates, Battlefront? Battlefront 2. I know the basic story of that, and that sounds interesting, but again, it's
Again,
about a
set.
team. And they're on a mission. That one does span time, is my understanding. So that's slightly different. Like, I guess it spans the prequels to the new trilogy, is my understanding, or sometime after the.
The Last Jedi, from
Right.
after Last Jedi, when the Empire fells, up to the new trilogy.
Okay. So yeah, that is at least interesting, the time spanning aspect of that. Because there's not actually a lot of canon like in between. Like, there's stuff that's like right before Force Awakens, and there's some stuff that's right after Return of the Jedi, but that real big in between area has been mostly unexplored, other than by Rebels, the cartoon, which I haven't seen, but I've heard mostly good things about.
Star Wars is the I think the problem with Star Wars is that you're dealing with an actual universe and that it still feels so small. And then you I'm hopeful for they announced two trilogies actually, which especially the Rian Johnson one.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that one. I
That one.
was initially more excited for the Benioff and Wise one, but I kind of have to say to myself, okay, I'm not the person or the persons who are complaining about this, and there are so many people complaining about this, they probably have something right. They're probably not wrong necessarily. I kind of had a similar thing with the Civil War one that they were gonna do, where at first I was like, I mean, you never know, and then I was like, no, this sounds like a bad idea. This sounds like a very bad, misinformed idea. So I don't know if I'm really excited for them. I would need to hear maybe that they've hired people who aren't white.
Yes, exactly. Because their next announcement was Jon Favreau,
Oh, I
which
forgot
is
about Favreau.
Favreau's making a TV show, I think.
So here's the thing. Favreau makes more sense to me than Benioff and Weiss. And I kind of get that one because he's Disney royalty at this point. And I feel like it was just, he needed to start making, not Jumanji, what's the, Lion King. He just needed to start making Lion King. And executives just needed to see it to be like, yeah, we'll let you do whatever you want with Star Wars. You can just have it at this point. And I think that he wanted to have control over whatever Star Wars he did. Because if you remember, like 2013 or 2012, when they announced that they bought Star Wars, he said that he didn't want to do it. And I think he knew that he would have to like do exactly what Disney said if he did that. But yeah, no, that one, I forgot about that one, and that is like a good point. Like, you have four white guys producing 50 hours of television, and you haven't announced a single person who isn't like just like a shade off white.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like, just
Or
let them.
like not a dude.
Right. Here's the thing. Yeah, if it was any woman, any woman, I don't care who, Kathryn Bigelow, give Kathryn Bigelow, give her that assassin movie I was talking about. Give her a movie about day to day in the Empire. If you let her do what she wants with that, and she just has to be PG-13, she could do something interesting with that. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. She'd find some interesting piece of that. Or just, I'm sure that she has thoughts about it, at least.
Or just go the way of what DC just did and give like a what I don't I can't remember her name.
Oh, Damn. This is gonna New Gods. Ava DuVernay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Wow. Wow. Okay. I'm dying currently. Ava DuVernay, director of Wrinkle in Time. So that's why that's not happening, though. That's why she hasn't been announced, because of Wrinkle in Time and that debacle. And you saw Wrinkle in Time, correct?
Yes, it's not great. Like it was too much of a kid's movie for me to enjoy, I think. It has some parts that are like really great and that some incredible shots and some like very emotional scenes that between like Chris Pine and his daughter.
Right.
But a lot of the film feels like a very childish adventure that doesn't that's just not entertaining to me.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've heard.
Yeah.
Like
But like
it's
it's a good kids movie.
right. Yeah.
No,
But
like I was actually talking about what I just said before, like Catherine Yan directing the Birds of
oh.
Prey film.
Yeah, so just like
Like
okay, yeah, I can see that actually. I can see just a writer who knows what they're doing, who knows Star
it,
Wars really
you
well.
know what? Just give a movie to Catherine Kuzama. I think
Oh,
she
yes.
yeah. Karen Kuzama,
I would be
she
very into that. Logan Marshall Green as the lead. I'm in. I'm in. Even though I will say that Star Wars, they've done a good job of avoiding male leads in most of their movies up until this point. Until Solo, of course.
like no good guy in those films is white or a dude.
Yeah, they're all Empire. They're all space Nazis. So yeah, that is something that I have to give them credit for is, even K2SO played by a white guy, but he's a droid. So yeah, that's a thing. But
Yeah.
yeah, I do enjoy that. And even a Hannibal Lecter, he didn't change roles at all, so he's still a cannibal who's been feeding on Empire Men. That's in my head. That's what I that's the that's a whole nother layer to that movie that makes it far more interesting to me. Maybe if you watch it that way, you'll like it more, knowing that he's eating Empire soldiers. No, but
Delicious,
yeah.
delicious Empire
Oh
soldiers.
yes, he's been thinking about eating Krennic the entire time. He just never got him alone. But no, yeah, like the whole universe is, I do think that they could do more to make it different, because again, like it's a lot of the same stuff over and over again. And I know everybody says it, we're honest, the whole SJW, you just trying to take away my Star Wars or whatever. No one's trying to take away your Star Wars, nobody. They're trying to give you more Star Wars, if anything. They're trying to give you every version of Star Wars that can possibly exist. It's just that they're all made by white people. So maybe we should get Star Wars by one of every kind of person.
Yeah.
And then maybe some of it will be for you, maybe some of it won't be for you. That's how things work. There's this thing that, James Bond fans have said, which is they stop caring about James Bond when they are older than James Bond. I have a very long time before I have to worry about
Yeah,
that.
same.
But I look forward to that moment because I'll be able to say, hey, there's a turning point in my life. And I'll never be able to get it back. But I'll know that somebody else is going to enjoy this as much as I did. I can take joy out of that fact.
Here's the one that proved the theory wrong. My grandfather loved James Bond until the day he passed away. So.
Yeah, I don't think you ever stop, but it's different. It's different, definitely.
It's different. Yeah. I think we can move on from Star Wars. I think Star Wars is in the good direction, those mainline films, and we've talked about that a lot. And I think those spin-offs, I just wish they do. Like, I just want to see one that feels completely different from everything you expect from a Star Wars film.
I agree,
Just one.
which is why I like Rogue One so much,
Yeah.
because it does feel so different, but I think that they could go further, you know? I thought trying to fit that opening title card in was silly.
Yeah.
I don't think they need to do the crawl or any version of the crawl. And just like abandon the idea that all these movies need to have all the same things, you know? Like, I get it that I have a bad feeling about this. That's a thing. It doesn't need to be in every movie. It does not need to be in every Star Wars movie. It can be in all the mainline Star Wars movies, but it's pointless to keep shoving it in there.
And I don't know, just make a movie that doesn't, like, you wouldn't know it's a Star Wars film until they say that line, and then I'll be happy it's in it.
Yes, absolutely. That would be great.
Okay. There's one other one I just want to talk about a bit, and that's Harry Potter. Like,
Yeah, I guess that counts, doesn't it?
It's weird because it's like a series of film and then a new series of film in the same universe. And
Yeah. This generation's Hobbit. Well, and the previous generation's prequel trilogy.
yeah, exactly.
It's
Still
so
no good
weird.
prequels in all the in all history.
It's so weird that here's the thing. I want that to end.
Yeah.
I want bad prequel trilogies and, sequel, I don't know what to call it, sequel sets of films to end. Like, let's go back to just remaking Friday the 13th movies every couple years. I'd rather we do that than shitty prequel trilogies, because at least, like, for every one of those that was bad, there was at least one where they knew the last one was bad and they would react to it and they would do something weird and interesting. Where with this, it's like, oh wow, so you're committing to a different aesthetic that kind of looks like the last one, but it's shittier.
Exactly, it's shittier. That's the problem with all those series is that they're shittier.
I mean, we've talked about The Hobbit. It's
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, but like through a weird filter, a weird like goofiness filter that just makes it feel cheesy and bad. In the way that I feel like people thought the originals might have been before they came out, or the people who didn't go see them. I feel like the movies that people who are like, I don't like fantasy at all, fucking dumb dragons, rah, 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 and who say other words that I won't say on this podcast. Those people, they see the trailer for Lord of the Rings, and in their head, they're seeing The Hobbit. And that's just like, ew. And then Harry Potter, which I'll say this, I'm not precious about Harry Potter. I don't really have any nostalgia for it
Hey,
necessarily.
okay, Harry Potter is like for me growing up. And up until recently, I think was as important, if not more important, than Star Wars and how like I and something in all of pop culture. That's the two things that I completely dove into and loved and consumed everything of.
The films, when they were coming out, were that for me. Like, I definitely had the sense of, like, these are some of the most important movies to me and my development. Shortly after the last one came out, I was like, the only one of these that's interesting is Number 7 Part 1, because it's a Western. And they don't give a fuck about a traditional plot or a traditional bad guy or a traditional resolution. It's really interesting to me.
Of all these films, that's the one you.
I like three. I know
Yeah, three.
Alfonso Cuarón. Cuarón is not necessarily my favorite of the three amigos, as they are called. Or
Yeah.
the, so I get it. I get it. But yeah, I do think that movie is very stunning, though. It's gorgeous. I just think seven's the most interesting to me to
You know
watch.
what? I think we'll keep that talk for a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
But those new movies, they suck.
They really do. Because
they suck, and then they cast like the shittiest guy possible for the
right.
role of villain.
Yeah, they cast Johnny Depp, who was just, I don't even want to get into it. I don't even want to talk about Johnny Depp. He's just, at this point, I want him to go away.
Yes.
Just go away. You've already ruined Pirates for me. Just stop. Just stop altogether, please.
Yeah.
Retire.
Like it feels like it's trying to be more, and it just feels like nothing. That's the problem with this film, that first film. It feels like they just exist because they needed a new Harry Potter film.
Yeah, that's what it is. It feels like, and here's the thing, if it was a situation where they would lose the rights to Harry Potter after a certain amount of time, part of my brain would say, oh, well, it's a money-making decision, and they'll lose like billions of potential dollars if they just let this go. I don't agree with that choice, but I understand the reasoning behind it. It's not even that. They have Harry Potter into infinity. After J.K. Rowling dies, my understanding is that they will continue to make Harry Potter movies long after she is dead. So it does not matter what they do with it. They could let it
And
sit in a
maybe
closet
they'll
for
be
30
written by
years.
someone that can write good stuff.
Maybe. Possibly. Who knows?
Because, like, the big red flag that's planted in all of Harry Potter is J.K. Rowling, and that's how much she sucks now.
Yeah, as I've learned more about her, I'm like, wow, you are terrible. You are not a wow. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's a and here's the thing, it's more like George Lucas than even Peter Jackson was, because Peter Jackson, he just didn't want to be there. I've talked about this on many other shows. He didn't care about The Hobbit. He did not want to direct that movie. So it's like, I kind of get it. I kind of get why things happen the way that they did. But with her, it's like, wow, you're like a terrible person, and you believe things that directly affect me and some of my friends, like in very bad ways. So yeah. Ew.
It's like becoming a billionaire can make you a bad person.
It's
It's almost
almost like money is a contru is a corrupting factor in all of mankind.
Okay, let's move on. I'm tired. I want to talk about something funny.
All right.
Let's talk about the Universal Monster
You
Universe.
can't even keep a straight face. You can't even keep a straight face.
Like, they tried three times.
They tried three times. Yeah, I mean, so it's unclear if Benicio del Toro's The Wolfman was actually an attempt at this. Nobody knows for certain. But that's the best attempt that they did. And that movie is 8 years old now, which is insane. I was in my junior, sophomore year of high school when that happened. So that it's so long ago when that movie came out. That's a Joe Johnston movie, director of Captain America: The First Avenger, oddly enough. So yeah, like that movie happened, and I've written about this movie before. As a fan of werewolves as a concept, that's it's a great movie from that point of view. As a movie with characters and a plot and emotional stakes, it's a really just it's really blah. It's not that interesting. So then when you go from that to the movie that I've dubbed Dracula Turns Into a Hand of Bats. For those who don't remember, Dracula Unchained,
Untold.
the movie where a
Untold,
man turns
no?
into a fist of bats.
Dracula Untold.
Oh,
A
yeah.
movie that had a pretty good trailer, actually. I
And,
remember watching that trailer the first time and being like, oh shit, this actually looks cool. Then
yeah.
seeing reviews and thinking, okay, I'm never gonna see that film.
That's Tyrion's dad. Holy shit. This will be great. And that the actor whose name I cannot remember, who's the lead of that movie, he's great. Luke something, in everything
Luke
that he's
Evans,
in. Luke Evans. He's he's usually the best part of whatever he's in. Maybe he's bland, maybe he's generic in most things, but he's at least interesting to watch. You know, he's part of why Fast and Furious 6 is the best Fast and the Furious movie. Yeah, like even he, like he is so underused in that movie, and I've only seen bits and pieces, but it's just like, wow, this is what you came up with. And Dominic Cooper is the villain in that movie also. So you have two of the better British actors currently working today in that movie. And like, he traps Dracula in a room made up full of golden coins to kill him because gold kills vampires or
Oh, yeah,
whatever.
that's what happens.
That happens at some point. It just that movie is bad. And then we talked about it. I haven't even seen The Mummy. I've just seen the clip of Russell Crowe transforming, and it's hilarious because he goes from Russell Crowe to Cockney Russell Crowe, and his eyes turn gray a little bit, and
I'm just gonna Google that
yeah,
because I need to see that.
he chokes out Tom Cruise. But that's here's the thing. I was actually excited for that movie, like when the first trailer came out. I was legitimately excited because I was like, okay, they're not doing a horror because they don't understand what scary means. And for a lot of us, The Mummy is the Brendan Fraser movies, so I understand going more in that direction, and sort of doing sort of a half and half of those two different visions of The Mummy. But the actual movie, just I haven't. And here's the thing, it's not that I haven't tried to watch it. Like, I've sat down and been like, I'm gonna watch The Mummy tonight because why not? And I just can't. I just can't press the button. I just look at the poster and I'm like, I'm just gonna go to bed. I'm just gonna go to sleep. I'll spend my time much better doing that. Yeah, that's. I don't know. The Mummy, the whole dark universe to me, and the whole idea of it's a good idea in concept, but I think part of why nobody wanted to get excited for it when it was happening is there's no clear vision for what the Avengers is if you're not super into the Universal Monsters. I know a lot about the Universal Monsters. I've watched House of Dracula and House of Frankenstein. So I know what that sort of crossover thing is, or at least in a very vague form. But the rest of the audience, they don't even know what that means, a big crossover between monsters. So wait, what are they gonna do? Are they just gonna.
No, you know what? You wouldn't know what they should do. They should do like those, them all individually, and then you have a collector that puts them together and makes them fight like in Hunger Games and like
Yes.
screen it to the world.
Yes.
And that's a
I'm into that. They put him on an island, and
yeah, exactly.
the Wolfman has to fight the mummy, and I'll be rooting for the Wolfman all day. You all know that. Yeah, I'd be into that. The other one I've always thought is, well, first movie, the characters who lean more towards good, they have to fight Dracula. Played by Mads Mikkelsen, of course,
Of
because
course, there's no other choice.
no,
Mads
there's no other
Mikkelsen
choice.
or Tilda Swinton, the two only choices.
Yes, I mean you could cast Tilda as his wife also, which is,
Yes.
I mean these things just write themselves. Cast her as Elizabeth Bathory, actually, his great niece, I think. They found each other after they both became mass murderers. You could do that, and then the second one you bring the mummy back, and the mummy is the bad guy. So that's a thing. Yeah, I don't know, but also like,
Make a solo Frankenstein film, and I love the idea of having Javier Bardem.
yeah, as either of them, as the creature or the creator, both of those work.
Cast him as both,
Yeah,
like
you know what? That's the thing that nobody's ever thought of.
make it that he made a beast that looks like him.
Right, because if he's a doctor, he kind of could, and if you're setting it modern day, that actually makes more sense, kind of. And like we've seen actors play multiple roles before and do it stunningly, so it really works, and it plays up the idea that the creature is supposed to be like a son. So yeah,
Yeah.
that would be incredibly interesting. And like we know that you can do an interesting thing with the creature from the Black Lagoon. You want to know why? Because a movie came out just a couple months ago based on the creature from the Black Lagoon. The movie was called The Shape of Water. It was very interesting. You don't have to make that movie, but if you made a movie half as good as that.
And you know what? Just buy The Shape of Water and put that monster in it.
Yes. Or just let Guillermo run your monster universe.
Exactly. Give it to someone that understands what the fuck he's doing, because it feels like nobody does.
No,
It's
nobody
always
cares.
feels like nobody does what the fuck they're doing when it fails.
Well, I can't remember
When
if it
it.
was Kurtzman or Orsai, but when one of them said, "I'm going to explain what the mummy's wrappings mean to the mummy," I knew we were in for a bad film. You're going to explain what the wrappings are. Do you not understand how mummies. I was so angry. I was so angry when that happened. And I was like, oh, you don't understand monsters at all. You are just a dumbass who doesn't understand what you're doing. You're another white guy who's been given one of these movies and asked to do a thing. And because in the past, as a writer, you would do whatever studios say. You got the job, so you kept on getting jobs and getting jobs until it got to the point where them realizing, oh, he's just a people pleaser, that doesn't actually work out when we're trying to make an actual film. That doesn't make sense. You need somebody with a vision and an idea of their own and a direction that they want to bring things in towards, not somebody who's just going to listen to every single word that we say. That was me reenacting my Twitter rant from like a year ago. Did you find that clip yet, or did you get a chance to watch
No,
it?
I didn't. I'll watch it another time.
Yeah.
I'll keep it for when I'm drunk, and at least that'll make me a bit more entertained. Okay, let's move on to the good monster film, because good monster universe, because there's a good one actually, and
Yeah.
that's how I think you sh you that's a good example of
Yeah, that's
build up, put them together, and it's better than the sum of its parts.
right. And here's the thing, this is what I'll say about. I'm gonna call them the Toho Monster Universe because they're produced by Toho, and Godzilla was sort of he's the leader to this whole thing so far. To the yeah, but Godzilla is not an amazing film, but it's good enough. It's good enough. It clears the line of like. How good it needs to be for us to be excited about later films. And I'll say the same thing about Kong Skull Island. It is good enough for what it needs to be. It's visually interesting. The action sequences are interesting. In a way, and this is what I love about it, kind of. In different ways from how Godzilla was interesting. Like, what I love about Godzilla is you feel the weight of what these monsters are and what it means when. You know, millions of pounds collide with millions of pounds. Or, you know, metric system. Metric system measurements. But whereas in Kong Skull Island, there's this frenetic energy to fight sequences between giant creatures. And it's very exciting and it feels fresh in the way that, you know, when action movies sort of changed in the 2000s. It feels fresh and interesting the way that that probably felt then. Because you've just never seen monsters move like that or fight like that. So yeah, like, and that's the thing, like, in movies with giant monsters, especially in North America, we just need to see them fight, and we need to be entertained by those fights. And then that will carry the movie quite a bit.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I actually really, really liked Kong Skull Island. I think it's so much better than I thought it'd be. I thought it'd be, I mean, through seeing the reaction to it. I saw it like later at home, and I think it's a really good action film. And like you said, it's a movie that introduces Kong as a character really well and makes you just want more of it and more of him.
Yes, that's the thing that both the special effects artists on both films, they do a really good job of giving both digital characters character. They have facial expressions, they have movements, and there's things that make them distinct and interesting as CG characters. Kong is played by Andy Serkis's protege, who played Koba in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, whose name is escaping me at the moment, Toby Kebbell. But he played Kong, and he's also in the film. And his character gets cut short, kind of. He dies in a very strange way. But yeah, he plays Kong, and he brings something to it. He brings what he brought to Koba, but to a character that doesn't speak at all. He brings his experience of working with Serkis, and Serkis also contributed towards Godzilla. He contributed towards making sure that Godzilla moved kind of like how a giant lizard would move, and he helped the visual effects artist realize what would be a realistic facial expression for a creature like this. And him and Gareth Edwards? Evans?
Gareth Edwards.
Gareth Edwards. They came up with the idea of, well, let's make his face look more like a cat, because cats are very expressive, and humans can recognize cat expressions fairly easily. We're just trained already to do so. So that's why, if you watch that movie, he does have very cat-like expressions of grief or sadness or happiness or anger, throughout the movie. And that's the other important thing. He has There are distinctions between when Godzilla is angry and when he is sad, like he is in the 1998 film, Wood Eaters. That's how terrible my first film experience was.
I watched The Phantom Menace. That was my first movie in theaters.
Wow, I mean, wow, that's sad. At least we share this pain. This.
The time I loved it. I
Oh
think
no,
at the time it
I
was
agree.
you too, yeah?
Here's the thing: when we were like 10, I bet Phantom Menace was the best movie ever made.
Oh yeah, of course. I used to watch it all the time on
Yeah,
DVD.
I watched it constantly. I think the only one that I remember not liking when it came out was Attack of the Clones. It's the only one that I can think of where when it came out. And when I was old enough to see it, when I went to see it in the theaters, every single time I watched it since, I just was like, this is good, I guess. But even, I think even then, I don't think I knew that, I don't think I recognized that lines like, I hate sand, it's coarse and it's dry. I don't think I realized that that was bad. We're talking about Star Wars again, but anyways,
Yeah,
I'm very excited for the Monster Universe.
exactly. Like they make two movies we like, and then we want to see. Like I'm more excited for the next one than I was for the first two ones, and I'll be more and more excited if they're still making good movies, and I'll keep go watch them.
I mean, I'm super excited because the end of Kong suggests that we're gonna get Rodan and Ghidorah. Which for Godzilla geeks is just like, that's the kind of thing that I never thought we would see it, with American special effects and all that stuff. And so yeah, that got me so excited, and I'm still excited on that level. So even if the next Godzilla movie is only a slight improvement over the last one, But Ghidorah is there, and Ghidorah is treated right. I will be all into it. Like they've again, they keep on clearing the minimum level of quality, and as long as they do that, I will go and see more movies.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Anything you want to make fun of?
No, there is one other universe that I want to point out, I think is doing probably the best job up until this point, other than the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And that is, and even though it's not technically a universe yet, it just has all the trappings of one. And I brought it up before, it's the Fast and the Furious universe.
Yes.
Because they did that. They built up individual characters. Yes, it was still a sequel. Yes. But the thing about the Fast and the Furious movies is Vin Diesel left after the first one, and Paul Walker left after the second one. So each movie had a different lead character. Until you got to the fourth one, in which they brought together, but they brought back the original cast from the very first movie. And then you get to the fifth one where they bring back everybody who's been a lead in any way in the previous films. Except for the main lead of Tokyo Drift. They instead opted for Han.
They did the right choice.
I agree.
I tried to watch Tokyo Drift. I had never seen it. I got like 20, 30 minutes in, and that guy is unbearable.
Yeah, Han is definitely the better choice. Because the moment he shows up, you're like, that guy's interesting. He doesn't even say anything, but he's already interesting, and he's like the Mickey of that movie, is my understanding. So yeah, it's interesting that he was the one they picked. But he actually goes back to why am I forgetting the name of the director? But he goes back to that director's first movie, which is called. I'll look it up. But yeah, but those movies, I think that they have done one of the
Justin
better
Lin's first
universes.
movie.
Yes, Justin Lin. His first movie has Han in it as the same character.
Oh, yeah.
What is it called? Better Luck Tomorrow, which is, so it's technically part of the Fast and Furious universe because his name in all of these movies is Han, and then the Japanese equivalent of Solo, so Han Solo. So yeah, he's the character who's sort of carried over from all these movies. But yeah, like he's done a good job of, again, what we said with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, building up individual characters, even if there wasn't a plan to do that initially. And having those characters have their own journeys, their own missions, their own goals in life, and then having those characters collide in one team-up movie. And then you bring in The Rock as one of the greatest cinematic film characters to ever exist. And you start the romance between Hobbs and Dom Toretto. Greatest romance since Twilight, better than Twilight, in fact. But yeah, you do that, and again, like you just build up this appreciation for these characters until you get to the point where there are people who cry in the seventh movie as a result of Paul Walker's death, and that movie becomes a gigantic hit, making like $1.5 billion. And allowing Universal to have one of the best years in all of cinema, like to this day. Like, even with The Force Awakens, even with whatever Marvel movies you want to point out, Universal still has one of the best years ever, period, because of Fast and Furious and Jurassic World. So yeah, like that's a universe that I do want to point out that they're kind of doing things right, and they're only now starting to get into spin-offs
Yeah.
because Rock and Vin Diesel, they don't like each other apparently.
I think that's a fun, different way to go is that make all those movies in a series and then start spinning them off a bit. I think We haven't talked about the third big studio making comic book films, X-Men, and they've done pretty like more or less mainline films for a while, and then they started so to vary from it. They did an awful film, and then they make the okay film, and now their spin-offs are way better than everything they've ever done. So
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah, the X-Men canon is just weird. It's just very, very weird.
and now we're more excited for like Deadpool 2 and New Mutants that will ever be for that new Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
Whatever bullshit that dude's come up with, I don't. I never remember his name, and he. I think Simon
Yeah,
Kinberg.
Simon Kinberg, who
Yeah,
also,
what?
yeah, he does a lot of stuff.
Yeah, whatever bullshit he comes up
Well, here's the thing, like I have a hard time like placing blame on these things because he also produced First Class. And if you ask me, in terms of an X-Men movie that is really good and authentic to what X-Men are supposed to be, and just like, yeah, and just like really nails the tone, and it's very well directed. Like, First Class is the best one to me. Like, it's the
Yeah.
best as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
As
by
far,
far.
like, as far as really nailing what an X-Men movie should be, better than any of the Singer movies. And knowing that Simon Kinberg produced that or had any hand in it, it's like, I kind of have to give you
Yeah,
some
but
credit for that.
he produced that. He didn't write it like he did
Right.
Days of Future Past and Fantastic Four and X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. You know what? Just great films.
Wow. Okay, so here's the thing. I do not hate Days of Future Past. I just think it's meh.
Yeah,
Like,
no, me too.
this is meh. I've
But
seen better.
the problem is with Days of Future Past is that it's a sequel to
Right.
First Class.
Yeah.
That's its biggest issue. And First Class is great, and Days of Future Past is
Right.
okay to good, depending on who you're talking to.
Yeah. There are moments of Days of Future Past that are good, but then there are moments where it's like, oh wow, this is full on Singer. This is Singer at his singeriest. And that's not a good thing. And it's just like, wow, can we get why am I forgetting every people's names today? Matthew Vaughn, can we get Matthew Vaughn back? And then like couple months later, I saw Kingsman. I was like, you know what? I'm good. I'm good. I like this. And then I saw Kingsman 2, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back on what I've said before. But yeah, I don't know. The X-Men universe is very just. It's because it is so bland. I don't even think of it as a universe. And it's an example of a term that I'm sure I've said other places and probably on here. It's an example of what I call anti-canon, where the universe really doesn't have a canon, and at
Yeah.
every moment it can, it tries to destroy any possibility of a canon. It's just like fully just motivated to make sure that there is no continuity from film to film, and that what happened in the past does not matter.
But break all that shit and make just interesting films. And
Right.
I think the lesson of all of this is if you're not Marvel, just try to make good films, and then we'll come watch them.
Right.
And they don't have to be a universe. They don't have to be linked. Just like make one guy show up in multiple films, then that's
Right.
you don't have to make it to build it like Marvel did. You just have to. I've never been as excited for X-Men films as I have for the last year because they're great and they feel completely different from everything else in the genre. And it looking forward, they have interesting stuff coming, and that's better than they've been since First Class.
Yeah. Like, I mean, talked about Logan everywhere at this point, and
Yes.
I just, it's like, that exists. And here's the thing, if all the X-Men movies up until Logan had been as good as The Wolverine, which is, I think it's one of the more underrated movies of the whole X-Men franchise. And I kind of wish Mangold had done a proper trilogy, but whatever. But yeah, like that movie's like again, that movie passes the acceptability bar as far as making a movie that's at least interesting and has a compelling story to it. And it I think it holds up and it gets better and better with every time I watch it. Most of the Singer X-Men movies don't, and some of them are just trash, and it's more obvious that they are trash the more you watch them. And it's just like, and it makes the fact that they've only now sort of gotten their footing and they're realizing, oh, wait, if we just don't worry about any of this and we just let these directors do something that they find interesting, then maybe we'll get good movies out of it. So yeah.
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah. I mean, even if New Mutants isn't the best, it has Anya Taylor-Joy, and everybody knows my feelings about her, that I will be there
Yes.
for any movie that she's in. Except Morgan, because fuck no. But
Have you seen Barry on Netflix?
no, I haven't.
Oh, it's great. It's really good. It she plays it's about Barack Obama, and she plays like his college girlfriend. She's really good at it. It's like very. It's a surprisingly good movie. All Netflix exclusive. Definitely worth a watch. But yeah, no, like it has her, it has Maisie Williams. Like, that's a good duo.
Yeah, you got me. Charlie Heaton from Stranger Things. He's not the worst part of Stranger Things, I'll say that. So that's cool. And then a couple other unknowns, which I'm fine with. And then Alice Braga, who is, she's great in just about everything I've ever seen her in. So yeah, like you got a good group there. You got a good team there. And again, you're coming off of the heels of Logan, which is a good thing to come off the heels of. So as long as it's scary, because it's supposed to be a horror movie. If it's scary, I'm in. And I'll go to any X-Men movie that they make afterwards, assuming they get to still make X-Men movies. Because that's a big if at this point.
Yeah. Yes, true. Maybe the last one I want to mention is how you make me excited for a spin-off for a series I have no interest in, and that's the Transformers series of movies.
Oh,
That like
that's a good pull.
I think at the time the first one was pretty all right, and the second one was pretty bad, and then I liked the third one,
Yeah, same.
at least like part of it. My best friend is like a huge fan of those first few films, so I watched them with him, and it makes me enjoy them more.
I mean, that makes sense. What was your feeling of the fourth one, Eric?
I haven't seen the fourth or the fifth one.
So you haven't seen Michael Bay's attempt to destroy mankind.
No. You've talked enough about that film to make me never want to watch. And I thought I was never going to watch a Transformers film again. And then Travis Knight is directing a Bumblebee film set in the 80s, starring Hailee Steinfeld and John Cena. And I'm like
I'm in.
90% in. I just need the trailer to be good. That's all I
Yeah.
need.
Yeah, I mean, Hailee Steinfeld, one of our best young actresses currently working today. Edge of 17, one of my favorite movies of 2017. Is that long? Is that how long ago that was? 2016.
2016.
2016. Yeah. Great actress. Whatever she's gonna be in, she'll at least nail it. You know, if you haven't seen the Pitch Perfect movies, they're not good, but she's good in them. So that's a thing also. And then John Cena has impressed me lately. He was in Sisters. I don't know if you saw that. I know that you're not
No.
super into comedies, but if you were to see Sisters, you're seeing it for him, because his chemistry with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler is really good. And he's just funny in that movie. He's just very funny.
I heard he's good in Blockers.
I've heard that
Didn't
as
you
well. I haven't seen that
I
yet.
heard Blockers is actually good, which I'm maybe gonna try to watch that when it comes to like online services.
Yeah, he has a he's establishing a real track record with comedy. So I depending on the tone of Bumblebee, and I'm assuming Travis Knight is not gonna do super serious.
Travis Knight, director of Kubo and the Two Strings, one of my favorite movies of 2016, also like a really great animated film, really great adventure film, and written by Christina Hodson, which has been talked about like I think I don't know where she came from, but she's like doing writing two DC films and then this and then a bunch of other stuff, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, she's getting a lot of work, which is good. It's a good thing because, and I think it's because a lot of studios have sort of been taking a chance on like just unknown female writers, it seems. Which is always a good thing. And I think it has something to do with Nicole Perlman, who wrote Guardians 1. So that's probably part of it because she had not done anything before Guardians, and then now she's written countless things for
No,
Marvel.
yeah, no, I think she wrote like three or four films that were like that had good like good buzz, those scripts, and then they all ended on the blacklist. So she just like one that Tobey Maguire wanted to produce, but yeah, like I think like her getting more work makes me even more hopeful for that film. So I really hope it's good, and I think, like I said, I just need a trailer. I just need a trailer to be fun, and then I'll go watch it.
Yeah, agree. I totally agree with that. I think that's a good sort of general point about any universe that we're kind of feeling meh about is if you hire good people and they seem like they'll do a good job, then we'll probably be interested. Because there are plenty of these universes where if they did hire the right person, I would become interested. I would, assuming that the Dark Universe isn't dead, which it most assuredly is, but if they hired the right director, I would be all the way in. You know, we said Guillermo del Toro or somebody on his level or somebody who has an appreciation for those creatures, for those characters, I would be very much into it. As long as they got the right person, of course. So yeah, that's
I think being excited for Transformers movies is a good way to end, because I have nothing more than that.
Also, we're in an hour, so that's the end of our session. But no, yeah, so this is, I think this has been a good talk. Universes, they're not gonna go away anytime soon.
Oh, never. They never go away.
Hopefully not ours either. Our real universe that we live in. Hopefully it doesn't collapse into space while we're alive. But no, anyways, if you're listening to this, thank you. We love you.
Yes. We'll probably end up doing more of those down the line. I think I like our show being a criticism show mainly, but I think it's fun to talk about like what's going on in films in general, like trends and stuff.
Yeah, so this is something that also, like, if there are topics that you're interested in, people who are listening and you would like to tell us, please let us know. You know our Twitter accounts, you know other ways to contact us. I mean, technically there is an email, losharo@gmail.com, subject line questions for Los Haro podcast, I guess. So yeah, like if there's anything that you wanna hear us talk about, we are more than willing to take other people's topics and expound on them. 'Cause I actually really enjoyed this. This was a nice sort of, light episode that didn't require a lot of time in the back end before showing up. I guess
You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Isayur, where I still try to review everything I watch. Stay tuned for reviews of good films like The Death of Stalin and You Were Never Really Here.
AA Haro and all the places. Y'all know where to find me. I mean, Phantom Zone. There's gonna be an Infinity War review. We're reviewing it the weekend that it's coming out, which, yes, thank you, thank you. I'm glad that that's happening because we don't always get to do that. As Connor said on our Iron Man review, he will push a child.
Yeah, I listened to that today, actually.
Thank you. But yeah, that's a so yeah. Listen to that when it comes out. Eric might be on it. We actually don't know. We haven't gotten anything.
Maybe.
Nothing is cemented yet. But he might be. Or another Eric might be on. Or then we may just have two Connors and two Erics, and it'll be the most confusing episode ever. You never know. But anyways, stay tuned. The next episode you should be listening to is our action movie episode because this one's going up the week that we're recording it. So, yeah. Goodbye, and see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.